Good morning. We're starting a new series today. It's called Loving Our Jerusalem, and it's taken from two passages, both of which we'll take a look at today. The major theme passage for the whole series is found in Acts 1:8. And in Acts 1:8, Jesus is giving his final instructions to the disciples before he ascends to glory. And he says, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, and Judea, and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." And I just want you to notice that he says, you'll be my witnesses in the very place that you are right now. The place you're at right now is where you will begin to work for me and be my witnesses. The place that you're to love and to bless and to be a difference maker is right where you are right now. And so when we say that we want to talk about loving our Jerusalem, we're looking at what Jesus told those disciples. He says, love the place where you are right now. And then over the next few weeks, we'll look at the strategic progression that he gives there. But today, we're just going to look at that, and we're going to say, okay, where are we right now? And for most of us, we live in Wilson. Now, a lot of us are driving in from other places. Some of you are driving in from Castalia and from Black Creek and from Kinley and from Goldsboro and Rocky Mountain, Nashville, and different places. And so you need to fill in the blank, why love Rocky Mountain, or why love wherever you're living, whatever place you're living. That's what we're talking about. Start where you are and love the place, bless the place, pour your life out, be salt and light in the place that God's called you at this point in your life. And so here's what I want you to think about, because here's what I know that's human nature for us to do. One is that we say, once I get into better circumstances, then I will follow Jesus, or then I will be a productive Christ follower. If I had a better job, If I weren't working these long hours, then I would be more productive for the Lord. This job just steals my joy. If I lived in a different neighborhood, because you don't know my neighbors. If I lived in a better neighborhood, then I would tell them about the Lord. Then I would be more neighborly. If I had a different wife or a different husband, if I went to a different school, if the Lord hadn't given me these kids, if I could change, if I were in a different place, then some of you think like that. And so you're sitting on your hands and you're holding back the gifts that God has given you. You're withholding your God-given resources, thinking that later, when you're in the right circumstances, then you will be my witnesses, be what Christ called you to be, as soon as things get better in your circumstances. Now, others are here today. That's not you so much. You're in a different place. You're in a place where often believers go when they're really serious about following God. And they land in this place where they go, this is a sinful world. This is a fallen, terrible place, this planet Earth. Here's what we should do. We should go live like hermits on the mountaintop, pull in the drawbridge, and keep our kids and our families at home, turn off the TV, turn off the internet, turn off every connection to the world, and just let the world go to hell while we wait for Jesus to come, because this is a sinful place, and let's not touch it, because it might get on us. And so some of you may be there in that place, that place where you're thinking. And so this message, regardless of where you're at, whether you're in this place where you're waiting for better circumstances or you're waiting for Jesus to come and you're thinking, I'll just hide until he gets here. Wherever you're at today, here's the call I want you to hear. Start now and start where you are. And to do more than just survive, more than just hang on, but to begin to to flourish, to pour your life out. So I told you there were two texts. One is the Acts text, which we'll use over the next few weeks over and over again. And today I want to zero in on the second text, which I think really helps us flesh out what it looks like to love the place to which we've been called, to love the city, to love the place, the circumstances to which we've been called. And it's found in the Old Testament. It's in the prophet Jeremiah's writings, chapter 29. And Jeremiah's writing to the Israelites. He's writing to them, and they've been carried into exile. They're wonderful, beautiful. The city that they loved, the city of Jerusalem, has been destroyed by King Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon. And he's destroyed the city of Jerusalem. He's pulled the walls down. He has torn Solomon's temple down. And he's taken the temple implements and the temple furnishings, and he's carried them off to Babylon. And now he's taken the people of Israel, and he's marched them off into captivity in Babylon. And they're there, and they're not wanting to plug in. They're just wanting to die. And then they get this letter from Jeremiah, this letter, and he says, "I have a message for you from the Lord about how you should live while you're in Babylon, while you're in the place that's not really home, the temporary place you're at, that's worldly, and it's not the holy Jerusalem. It's the place you are. It's Babylon. Here's how I want you to live." Now watch this. Let's start reading it right here at verse 4, chapter 29. "Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, to all the exiles whom I have sent into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon, build houses and live in them. Plant gardens and eat their produce. Take wives and have sons and daughters. Take wives for your sons and give your daughters in marriage, that they may bear sons and daughters. Multiply there and do not decrease. But seek the welfare of the city where I have sent you into exile, and pray to the Lord on its behalf. For in its welfare you will find your welfare." And may God bless the reading of His Word. Amen. Here's what we're going to talk about today is why love Wilson. Why should we love the place we're at right now? And how would we do that? How do we love the city that's obviously imperfect? The circumstances aren't all good. How do we love the place we are right now? Here's the first way. Begin by understanding that God sent you here. Begin by understanding that it was God that put you in the place you are today. It wasn't a coincidence. It wasn't an accident. It's not just circumstances, but God is sovereign. Notice what the prophet Jeremiah tells the people of Israel as they're carried into exile. Here's what they're saying: That Babylonian king, that Nebuchadnezzar, I hate him, and he brought us here, and now we got to live in this pagan city, and we miss Jerusalem, and we miss. They even wrote a psalm. There's a psalm that talks about how they lay down by the rivers of Babylon. Yea, we wept as we remembered Zion. There's a song in the Psalms that they were singing this old sad song to each other. Jeremiah says, "Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, to the exiles whom I have sent into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon." Whom I have sent. Underline that. It's God saying this. I sent you there. Did you hear me? Let me say it again. Look down at verse 7. "But seek the welfare of the city where I have sent you." Did you miss it the first time? Let me say it again. Where I have sent you. The place you are today is not circumstantial, accidental, coincidental. God has His hand on you. He has a purpose for your life right where you are, right here, right today, in the place you are. I know you feel that if you had better circumstances, if you lived in a better place, a better environment, a better job, a better, then you would finally start. And God's saying to you, will you just understand one thing? you're in the place I need you to start right now. You're right where I need you to start right now, right where you are. Stop putting it off. Start right here, right now, where you are. 1 Corinthians chapter 7. Only let each person lead the life that the Lord has assigned to him and to which God has called him. The people in the city of Corinth had written some questions apparently to the Apostle Paul. And one of their questions was, now that we're Christ followers and we're married, should we divorce so that we can be more single-minded? And others who weren't married said, should we marry so we'd be a better team? And those that were employed by someone said, should we quit our jobs and sell our houses? And those that were enslaved, should we escape from our slave master? And those that were, all these people were coming in. Here's what the theme was, and Paul, he just kind of captures it in chapter 7 under a theme. Should we change our circumstances in order to follow Jesus? And then Paul says, why don't you just go ahead and work at the place you've already been assigned. Just go ahead and start there, right there where you are. Don't worry so much about changing. If you're married, stay married. If you're not married, don't worry about getting married. If you're working a job, keep working a job. Hey, don't worry about circumstances. Listen, if God wants to call you to something else, he will, but why don't you just get started right where you are? Instead of waiting for perfect circumstances, why don't you just start right where you are and recognize that it might be that God wants you to work it out right where you are because he sent you there in the very place you are. Now, you know what we just read in Acts 1:8. It says, I want you to be my witnesses in Jerusalem. Well, why? Well, that's because that's where they were at. Most of the disciples weren't from Jerusalem. Most of them were fishermen from Galilee. And so Jerusalem wasn't their home. But that's where they were when Jesus was talking to them. He says, start here. This is where you are. I want you to start here. Yeah, but Jesus, that's where they crucified you. And that's where Pilate and that's where the Herodians and the Pharisees and the Sadducees, and that's where all those people are. And yeah, but I want you to start here. Why? Well, that's where you are. Start where you are. Now, you know how this church got started, right? First timer? Okay. Let me tell you how it got started. Some 20-some years ago, I was working for a large retail drugstore chain. I was a district manager. They sold all the stores in Virginia. I lived in Roanoke, Virginia. And when they sold all those stores, they said, we want you to go run the stores in Eastern North Carolina. We want you to go live in Wilson. And I was like, where's that? And I'd never heard of it. And they said, well, it's an hour east of Raleigh. And I said, well, I think I've seen Raleigh before. I had visited Raleigh before, but I didn't know anything about the area. And I was like, I really don't want to go there. Not from there. I'm a mountain boy up here in the Blue Ridge, and I'm happy. And no, if you want to work for me, work for us, you're going to go. And so I followed the job. I needed the paycheck, and so I came. Came down here, 1987, and lived in the Days Inn next to the hospital there. I think it was called something else, and it's changed names a few times. But I lived there for about 6 weeks until I could get my wife and kids moved down here. And Stephen, the one that's standing here playing the guitar for us this morning, that's my oldest son. He was 5. And then my next child was 2. Jonathan was 2. Aaron was 1. Jonathan and Aaron were still in diapers. We moved here. My employer sent me into exile into Eastern North Carolina. From the mountains to the flatlands. From red barbecue to this new weird vinegar-based barbecue. From barbecue with heat to barbecue, not so much heat. And my 5-year-old Stephen, we go to a church homecoming. We're going to a local church here in Wilson. We go into a homecoming. They had this thing. We had never seen this thing before. We saw it in the bulletin, and we thought we should go to the homecoming just to see what this is. They said, we're having a pig picking. So we went, and I'm standing in line with a plate, and my 5-year-old's there, and he pulls on my sleeve. He goes, Daddy. I said, what? He said, that pig has an apple in its mouth. Yes, son, I see that. We hadn't seen that before. That was new to us, new to the area. I got exiled here, and then God called me to preach while I was here. And so I quit my job, and I started seminary, and I put my house up for sale. My house was for sale for 2 years. Zero offers, not one offer in 2 years. And I was trying to sell my house because I was trying to plant a church, and I knew I was supposed to go to a big city where there were a lot of lost people, and it looked like there are a few, you know, probably enough churches in Wilson, and Wilson wasn't that big, and I wasn't from here anyway, and I didn't have any roots here, and so I was trying to get away and go do what God called me to do. So here's why WCC is here. 21 years later, this is why we're sitting here today, because I got shipped here by my employer, and my house wouldn't sell. Praise God. Doesn't that sound like a wonderful spiritual story? That's the church you're part of here today. I look back on it now with a different perspective. God needed this church here, and he needed me to be here so he could do the work in me he needed to do in me and in my family and in us together. And in order to get me here, it wasn't my employer sent me here. He told my employer what to do because the nations are as grains of sand passing between his fingers. He is the sovereign God, Lord over all things. He tells all things to do what they do. He orders up all things. And so he loves me and he says, I need you in Wilson. Well, he didn't tell me. I might have said, wait a minute, I got an opinion here. No, he just sent me. And then when I said, I'm leaving, and he said, no, you're not. And so we started WCC in the house that wouldn't sell, in the living room with seven people in November of 1991. And some of you here that we married in the early days, you took premarital counseling in my upstairs bedroom / office. It was odd. It was still had the bed in there, and then it had my office. You know, like, that's weird. Okay, yeah. Don't look at the bed. Just look at me. We're talking. Premarital counseling, right? Don't look at the bed. We're talking here. You know, that's for after you're married. It was odd, you know, working it out in the early days. But I look back on it now, and may I say to you, I know this beyond a shadow of a doubt that God sent me here to be here to do what he's called me to do. And this is what he did to make it happen. And I thank him for it now. And I no longer question it. And we started the church here because that's where we were when he put it on our hearts. If we'd have been somewhere else, we'd have started it there. I don't know why you're here, but I have a suspicion it's because God sent you here today. And he wants you to get started right now, right where you are. Stop looking for perfect circumstances and get on with the business that God's called you to. Stop sitting on your hands and get started loving the place he's called you. Now, here's number two. Understand that God's called you. And then here's kind of a cliche. You know, I know you've heard this one before, but man, it just fits so perfect. I had to go with it. Bloom in the place where God has planted you. Bloom in the place where God has planted you. He's called you to the place you are, to the job you have, the school you go to, the neighborhood you live in, the family you're in, whatever. It's not perfect. It never will be. He's called you to this church. He's called you. Now, bloom. Stop holding back. Stop holding back your resources. Stop holding back your gifts and your essence. Stop waiting for the perfect place when finally, okay, this is it. This is where I'm going to. No, start now. Stop holding back and making excuses. Bloom in the place where God has planted you. I want you to notice and circle some blooming words. Verse 5, build, live, plant. Eat. Verse 6, take wives. That's a different, we don't do it quite that way anymore. Get married. get wives for your sons. Give your daughters in marriage. Have them bear sons and daughters. Multiply. You see all those blooming words, all these increasing, thriving, flourishing words. Do you see them in verse 5 and 6? He says to the Israelites in Jerusalem, stop holding back. Sink down your roots and bloom, blossom, and bear fruit. Multiply and do not decrease. in this place. But it's Babylon, Lord. This is the place where the evil one came and got us. And no, do it, because you're to be salt and light in the place that you are. It's not perfect. It's a mess. It's chaotic. I know the place you work. Man, have you seen where I work? You don't know the school I go to. You don't know the lady that's in the cubicle working next to me. Yes, but God does, and He puts you there to be salt and light. So bloom. Multiply. Prosper. Do not dwindle away and decrease, lessen and diminish. Instead, expand, grow, become great, be fruitful right where you are. Bloom in the place where you've been planted. Who's not to know this? Remember what the uncle of Esther said in the book of Esther? Esther was like, she just won the first, international beauty pageant, and she became queen of Persia. And he says to her, who's to say that maybe you were not born for such a time as this, for such a season as this, that this is why you exist, that you're in the very place that you're supposed to be right now? So prosper, flourish. Psalms 92, the righteous will flourish like a palm tree. They will grow like a cedar of Lebanon planted in the house of the Lord. They will flourish in the courts of our God. They will still bear fruit in old age. They will stay fresh and green, proclaiming the Lord is upright. He's my rock and there's no wickedness in Him. We're to flourish like that, to be fruitful. And even in our old age, instead of retiring in our old age, we ought to take those years and say, how can I invest them even more so into the kingdom of heaven? Yeah, well, it's time to hand it off to the young people. No, the young people need us. They need mentors. They need people to encourage them. We need to make room for the young people to take up positions of leadership. But if you're getting older, we need you to flourish and not hold back. It's a time right now. Yeah, I'm just going to go over here and I'm just going to sit over here and wait for Jesus to come. I'm just, I'm going to park myself over here and watch for Him. And, we are supposed to watch for His coming, but we're not supposed to watch for Him sitting down somewhere. I think we're supposed to watch for Him on our feet. And so when He comes again, and friends, He says He's coming again. When He comes again, I hope He catches me blooming in the place He's planted me, prospering in the place, doing what He called me to do. I hope He doesn't come and catch me laying back, because that's what I'll do if left to myself. He wants me to be salt and light. He wants His church to be salt and light in this city to which we've been called. Not to pull off and be a holy huddle, but to be dangerous in the city and to go out into this city and to prosper. Now, I was looking at this whole thing about building houses and planting gardens and having kids and grandkids and all this, and this kind of accidentally happened to my wife and I, to Robin and I. We came down here with a 5, 2, and a 1-year-old, and they, we were all from up in Roanoke, Virginia area, and we had a certain way we talked and a certain kind of barbecue we ate and this way. But our kids grew up here, and they went to these schools here, and they started talking with the same accent here and having a preference for vinegar-based barbecue, there's no taking them back to the hills now. In fact, here's the other thing that started happening. They started liking people down here so much that they started marrying these flatlanders down in here. And now Robin and I can't go back to where we grew up either, because they had grandbabies, these kids of ours, and we love them better than we love our kids. In fact, sometimes I'll turn to Robin and I'll say, why didn't we have these grandkids first? Because we like them better. And so we're here. You're stuck with us. Unless God grabs a hold of me and sends me somewhere else. And if He does, He won't ask my opinion. I've already figured that out. I'll go. But for now, I got deep roots here. And I'm planted here with you. And while we're here, let's be a people who are bearing fruit. That's what I see here. Stop holding back your essence. pour it out. Yeah, but I grew up in the Depression, and we got to save and hoard and hope. Yeah, but we almost lost everything we had, and I'm afraid. No. Live the life of the open hand. Live like this. Pour it out. Flourish. And then here's the third step. Recognize that you're sent here. Bloom in the place where God's planted you. Here's number three. Seek to be a blessing to the place where God has put you. Seek to be a blessing to the place where God has put you. I want you to notice verse 7. But seek the welfare of the city where I sent you. Seek. The word seek could be translated to search out, to study, to work at, to care about. Look at the city and see what it needs and then work at it. So like if we're the church, and we are, by the way, we are the church, not this building. We, the people, are the church. And what does this city that we live in need? We should be looking at that, seeking that, looking for that. What's it need in order to do what? Okay, so what are we supposed to seek? Seek the welfare of. Welfare, okay. Pray to the Lord on its behalf. For its welfare, whose welfare? The city's welfare. If you'll seek its welfare, you'll find your welfare. Okay, now I'm going to give you a Hebrew word. The Old Testament is written primarily in Hebrew. Now here's a Hebrew word that every Bible student should know. Shalom. Shalom. He says in the Hebrew, seek the shalom of the city to which I have sent you. That word means peace, prosperity, wholeness, health, welfare, goodness. Bless the city to which I've called you and do not curse it. Love the city and do not hate it. Seek the welfare of the place to what? Yeah, but it's worldly, it's sinful, it's fallen, it's broken. Yes, that's why I have you there. To be the hands and feet of Jesus, to be the expression of my body in that place, in all of its chaotic imperfection, to be an expression of God loving the people of that place. And don't just work for it, seek it, try to find it, but pray to the Lord on its behalf. Jeremiah, wait a minute. You want us to pray for Babylon? You want us to pray for King Nebuchadnezzar who tore down your temple? You want us to look for good things to do in Babylon? Yes, that's what the Lord told me to tell you. Pray for it. Pray for the mayor. Pray for the governor. Pray for the president. Pray for the nation. I don't agree with everything they're saying. Well, it doesn't say agree with everything. It says, seek the goodness, the shalom, the peace, the prosperity. Seek the good, and then pray for the good to happen. And be a part of that. And it's messy. Another translation, Jeremiah 29:7, New Living Translation. And work for, in place of seek, it translates seek work, which is another way you could translate, and work for the peace and prosperity, for the shalom of the city where I sent you into exile. Pray to the Lord for it, for its welfare will determine your welfare. Have you been looking at this cross back here? Have you noticed this? Now, if you were here Wednesday night, you know why this is here. Because Wednesday night, we had this down on the floor, Wednesday night for Ash Wednesday service, and we, at the end of the service, we said, okay, getting ready for Easter, we want you to pray and fast for people that need to come to Christ this year. They need to come to Christ. Loved ones, family members, friends. And we said, we want you, after you've prayed, we want you to come down front, and we want you to take a piece of paper, and we want you to write down what you're fasting from, and write down the names of the people that you're praying and fasting that they would come to Christ, and that you would have an opportunity to tell them about Jesus, to invite them to church. And so what you're looking at here is not a decoration, but these names of lost people that you love that you nailed to this cross. And we're going to leave it sitting here over the series. And we're going to agree in prayer that they come to know Jesus. Amen? Because we're going to love the place to which we've been sent. And we're going to take our eyes off ourselves. We're going to be a blessing and not a curse. The good news is good news. It's not bad news. And we're going to be a joy and a blessing, and we're going to bloom, and we're going to bless, and we're going to pray for people. And people came forward crying, and they wrote these names down. And we're going to leave this sitting here because we're getting ready to do something this Easter. Now, we unpacked this Wednesday night. If you weren't here Wednesday night, boy, you missed it because we had a combined service with Iglesia Hispana. So we sang in Spanish and in English, and we preached, and then we had a Spanish interpretation. We learned things. We learned that the word hot dog has no Spanish equivalent. I said, and so we're having hot dogs at our Easter extravaganza. And he said, da, 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 hot dogs. And I went, you didn't translate that. And he goes, there's no translation. We learned things like that Wednesday night. But we talked about epic Easter. Here's what I'm thinking about. As we go into Easter this year, how could we bless this city? What could we do as a church that would just like give it away? So we're not saying come and do this for us or give us this, but how can we bless the city? So we thought, what would make Easter epic in Wilson? So here's what we're going to do. The E stands for experience. And on the Thursday night before Easter, we're going to have the 12 stations of the cross all through the building so people can come. We're going to invite people all over Wilson to come in and experience the different steps of the cross. If you've never experienced this, some of you in the church know we've done this before. It's awesome. Thursday night. Friday night, the P stands for passion. We're going to show the passion of the Christ in the theater room on the big screen. We're going to rent a big projector so we can put it full screen. We're going to invite people to come on Friday night to watch the movie. Saturday, the I stands for enjoy. And we're going to enjoy hiding 10,000 Easter eggs and inviting people. Last year, we had over 1,500 people come on our campus. We're going to invite people to come to this Wilson's largest Easter egg hunt. We're going to give away free hot dogs, free drinks, and free chicharrones from Iglesia Hispana. And we're going to have fun. Why are you doing that? Why are you giving all that stuff away free? Because we're trying to love Wilson, and we're trying to love the people here, and we're just saying, come hang out in our front yard, and let's celebrate the resurrection of Jesus together, and let's just be friends, and then the sea. Let's not forget the sea. We're going to celebrate the resurrection that weekend, and we're going to throw in a third service on Saturday night. Epic. Easter's going to be epic this year. Leading up to Easter, we're going to do a food drive. Last year, we collected 4 tons of food leading up to Easter and gave it to the Hope Station to feed the hungry. We're going to do it again this year. Why are you doing that? Because there are hungry people in Wilson. It's a need. We want to bless the city to which we've been sent. We want to be the hands and feet of Jesus in the city. We want to bless the city. The city's not here to bless us. We're here to bless the city. And so when we say we're a city church, we don't mean some kind of, you know, that we're city people or something like that. You know, what we're saying is we're the church in downtown Wilson, across from the hospital. We're the hospital church. We're people who are sin sick come. People come that are hurting. And we're the church that's easy to find. Just drive through the drive-thru at Taco Bell. Wave at us. I love the drive-thru at Taco Bell. It's our number one advertisement. What's that thing over there? What's a WCC? Come and see. WCC, right over here we are. We're the city church. What does that mean? Not that we're city folk, but that we love the city to which we've been carried. Over the next few weeks, we're going to unpack this more and more. What's it going to look like? What's your evangelism love language? We're going to talk about that coming weeks, because all of us have a different way of communicating. We're going to take away the fear factor of talking to your neighbor about Jesus over the next few weeks. You don't want to miss a single message, because we're going to talk about how to love the city to which we've been carried. Now, I would be amiss, though, if I didn't mention that there may be someone here today that before you start the journey of loving the city to which you've been carried, you need to begin the journey with Christ. You need to begin today by saying, I need Jesus in my life. And I want to know what in the world that guy up front's so excited about. And so I want to give you an opportunity as we pray here in just a minute to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior, and let the exciting journey of following Jesus begin. So let's take some time right now. We're getting ready to close. I want you to just think about, what's God want me to do? I want you to be thinking, maybe, I don't know if there's any room up here, but maybe you're supposed to have some names up here and you weren't here Wednesday night. You don't necessarily need to name them or nail them up here, but you need to write them down somewhere on a sheet of paper somewhere. You need to be praying for some people that need to come to Christ. Maybe that's what you need to pray right now. And others are here, and you need to say, the person that needs to come to Christ today, name at the top of the list, my name. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you for your word. Thank you that you've called us to be this salt and light to this world. Lord, that you've called us to lean towards those that are hurting and not away from them. Lord, that you've called us to be a church and a people that blesses the city to which we've been sent. Blesses the school, blesses the neighborhood, blesses the workplace that we've been sent. Not to complain, not to curse, not to put down, but to bless and build up and encourage the place we've been sent. There's someone here today that doesn't know you, Lord, and they're here. That's the main thing they need to do today, is just say, Lord, come into my life. I believe in you. I believe that you died on the cross and rose from the grave. I accept you now. I receive you as my Lord and Savior. Forgive me of my sin. Make me the person you want me to be. Others are here, and you're praying for someone that needs to pray that prayer. You're praying for someone. Someone that's a neighbor, a friend, a brother, a sister, a parent, a coworker, a schoolmate. Lord, take our eyes off ourselves today. Help us to put them on you. And then putting them on you, help us to see what your eyes are on. For you're seeking the lost. Lord, we thank you now for this word. Enable us now. Give us the power of the Holy Spirit so that we can be your witnesses in our Jerusalem. In Jesus' name, amen.